Okay. Mark chapter 6, and beginning at verse number 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Then over at the very verse 30, And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry that he had here on earth when he was here and the work that he was doing. We thank you, Father, that we do know him as our Lord and our Savior, and that we are depending upon him for our eternal life, the forgiveness of all of our sins. We just praise your name that he was willing to come and to die on the cross to take away our sins. We do pray, our Father, this morning that you would just bless your word to our hearts and help us to be able to proclaim your word in a good, clear way so that everyone will understand and will be able to apply it to themselves and profit from it. We thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us, that you're always with us to help us in every situation. May we love you, and may we love one another and serve you faithfully together. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning home. Mark's the action chapter, action gospel, I mean. The story of Jesus moves very quickly in this gospel. In the previous chapter, for example, We saw how Jesus cast the demons out of the maniac of Gadara. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. And he raised the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus from the dead. Today, we travel with him back to his hometown, Nazareth. And my, what a difference we see as we find him there. Notice Jesus at Nazareth here. He comes back and says, into his own country, Galilee, about 20 miles from where he was actually working at Capernaum. He went back up to Nazareth. You know, the gospel writers mention two visits that Jesus made to Nazareth after he began his public ministry. The one is described here, and there's a previous one in Luke chapter 4. So let's take a look over in Luke. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, actually, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." So we find here, he didn't get too warm of a welcome, did he? We're coming back home again. Someone said, "You can't go home again." Well, Jesus went, but it wasn't a very warm homegoing. On the Sabbath, they went into the synagogue, we see, and Jesus was asked to speak. He was the rabbi, so he was speaking. He read the scripture from Isaiah that we noticed. It speaks there about the Messiah. He's the one that the Spirit of God is upon to preach and to teach. He's speaking about the Christ who was to come. And he announces that this day it's fulfilled in your ears. So what Jesus was saying is, I am the Messiah. I have come. The people listened intently, but with skepticism. They were wondering, how could he know all these things? He said, yeah, is not this the son of Joseph, the carpenter? They knew him as a boy who had grown up there in town, playing with the other children, and running up and down the streets of Nazareth. They knew him as the one who made the furniture or fixed the ox cart or whatever the carpenters did back in those days. And as he preached, he got on a subject that they weren't so happy about. Because instead of speaking of the ministry that God was doing to the people of Israel, he mentioned the work that God had done with the Gentiles. And that always seemed to be a sore spot with the Jewish people, right? You remember Paul, when he mentioned the word Gentile, when he was defending himself, they said, away with such a man. Kill him. And that's the very thing that they did with Jesus, you see. They were rather prejudiced in their viewpoint, weren't they? There's a lot spoken today about bigotry and prejudice, and here we find that it's a very, very old thing. It happened back then as well. And they were going to throw him down off of the hill, but somehow he just calmly walked away. Now we'll come back to Mark 6 and see this visit. Jesus has come back again to visit his family. They still live there. And notice his family. There's his mother Mary. Apparently Joseph must have died by now. There's his mother Mary. And then there's his brothers. It mentions their names, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. Right? And then it says his sisters. So if there were sisters, there had to be at least two. So that means there were seven children in the family that Mary and Joseph had. See? Very nice, a nice family. And yet his brothers, it says, did not believe in him. His brethren did not believe in him until after his resurrection. Isn't that something? To live together all that time and not to understand who Jesus was. Mary, of course, did, and Joseph. They knew where he came from. But the rest of the family apparently did not. So we find Jesus comes back, and again on the Sabbath day, as he always did, the day of worship, went into the synagogue, and he begins to teach. And we see here the reaction of the people. Many of them were surprised. They were wondering, you know, how in the world did he get all this knowledge? Where did this wisdom come from? You know? Such a common, ordinary person. What about the miracles that they say he performed down in Capernaum and in other places? Do you think he might do something here? Here they're looking around, no doubt, wondering if Jesus is going to put on a show for them. They knew him as the hometown boy, the carpenter. They knew his entire family. And you know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? They knew Jesus so well that they took him for granted. They knew him so well that they couldn't believe that he was the promised Savior. They knew him so well. And they rejected him. They turned him away. He could not be the real one because they knew him so well. Their unbelief hindered the Lord from doing his mighty work. It says he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus in his humanity. You know, he limited himself. And it surprised him at that time that these people could be so hard and callous and not believe who he was and not believe what he would do. Their unbelief. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see again and again that the Lord works in response to faith. You know? As it says in Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, it's through faith that we come to know Christ. And then he says to another person who wanted to be healed, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's all by faith, isn't it? And why do we not see the mighty power of God manifested today? Why do you think it is? Could it be because of unbelief? Have we become so familiar with Jesus and his word that we don't really expect anything? We take it and think that nothing's going to happen. Well, nothing's happened for a long time. Why would it happen now? You know, we have studied the Scriptures so much, and you folks have heard the Word of God down through the years. Pastor Rain, all the others that came before them. And we know the Scriptures. We know what God expects. We know what He teaches. And we know the power of God in theory. But we need to see that in action, though. Do you really believe that God can do great and mighty things? Do you really believe that God can save people from their sins? Do you? Okay. So he says we need to be proactive. We need to be praying for souls to be saved. You know? Here we are. Struggling to keep the church going, right? We need to pray that God will bring in more people that would be able to see the work go forward. Not only that, but to see them come to Christ and to have their lives transformed and changed by the power of God. Here, these people at Nazareth, the place where Jesus had spent so much time, were so blind that they could not see who he was and what he could do. And we, who know him so well from the Scriptures, do we really believe he is going to do something? That's a good question, isn't it? Do we really believe? Have we become so familiar that we no longer expect anything to happen? Or is it possible that we might be hindering God's work by our unbelief? It's a good question to ask. So may the Lord help us to cast aside every doubt, every fear, and put our faith and confidence in Him. You know? We quote the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. All things. Do we believe that? Jesus said, if you have faith, you can move the mountain. It'll be cast into the sea. Now, I admit, that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? What do you think? Let's be honest. Do you really believe you can move a mountain into the sea by believing it's going to go? I think he was probably, didn't mean that literally, probably. But he does mean that all things are possible to him who believes. Right? And we can move away those mountains of doubt and fear and frustration and disappointment and discouragement and depression. Take it all away. Putting our faith and trust in the Lord, knowing that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So, Jesus didn't make too much of an impression upon the people at Nazareth. They continued on in their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. A few, it says a few sick folk came to him, and he laid his hands on them and healed them. But most of the people walked away without doing anything, without expecting anything, and without receiving anything. Even though Jesus was there in their midst with all power in heaven and earth, and yet they did not receive a thing. God has many things for us if we'll only reach out and take them. Right? He is able. So Jesus moves on. It says he goes to other villages teaching, carrying on his ministry. He left Nazareth behind. And we don't read that he ever returned. He may have, but it doesn't say that. And then he sent out his disciples throughout Galilee to go out two by two and to proclaim the message of salvation. It says that they preached repentance, repent. Same message that John the Baptist had preached, the message that Jesus had preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think that's a message that we still need today. We need to repent. Repent of our unbelief. Repent of our sin. Repent of our attitudes toward one another or towards the Lord. And sell out wholeheartedly to Him. So Jesus sends out His disciples. These men that He's trained. They've been together now for some time, and Jesus sends them out on this mission. And it's interesting. As they go, they are totally dependent upon God and upon the people that they come in contact with. He says, don't take anything extra. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Don't take an extra staff. Don't take anything extra. No food. You go. And whoever will accept you, whoever will accept the message, you go and accept what they give you. I think most of us would probably starve to death if this happened to us. Don't we? Yeah. But these men went out. They had been with Jesus and they had accepted Him. They believed in Him. They trusted Him. And they knew that they could do it. So by faith, they set out under these conditions to fulfill the mission that the Lord Jesus gave to them. The mission of taking the Word of God to the people. And this is the same task that's given to us today, isn't it? We are called to go and to proclaim the message of Christ to those around us. I'm trying to remember what that one song was last night. I couldn't understand everything, but when the choir sang, they were talking about, you know, what our duty is. Go and tell, you know. Of course, they did it in a very lively way, you know. If you want to get a little bit of life, you got to go into a black church, you know. They know how to do it. And there's no one going to sleep. They're all up and around, dancing and rejoicing in the Lord. But anyway, this is our task, is to give forth the Word of God in any way that we possibly can, whether it be to the children at the kids club, whether it be to folks that we know from day to day, so we have opportunity to share a word with them. This is our job, and we need to fulfill it. We need to believe that God can use us. Do you believe? Do you believe God can use you? What do? You know, you're a bus driver? Okay. Can bus drivers tell about Jesus? You're a construction worker? Is there any opportunity there? You know, whatever. Housewives. You ever talk to your neighbor? You know, there's all kinds of opportunities that we have. We just don't use them many times. But his disciples here obeyed what Jesus told them to do, and they fulfilled their mission. We read how they came back excited, telling him about what they had done. We read it in other places as well, where they came back and said that they were rejoicing that God had used them in such a wonderful way. And the Lord is able to use each one of us as we proclaim His Word. I don't mean you have to preach. You understand. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about just exalting Jesus in your everyday life. In whatever you do and whatever you say, being kind to other people, rejoicing in the Lord, having a big smile on your face instead of going around like you've been eating persimmons. You know? The question that we need to ask ourselves, am I obeying the mission that Jesus has given to me? That's the point. Jesus, I'm sure, was disappointed in his humanity when he went to Nazareth and was rejected back in his hometown. That must have hurt his feelings. And so often those who know Jesus best are the ones who serve him the least. You know what I mean? We have a lot of knowledge. But we need to take that knowledge and put it into practice. And rejoice in serving the Lord in whatever way He leads us to do it. Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Word to our hearts. And we ask You to bless it. And these few thoughts that we've given, we pray that each one of us would be more conscious of the way You can use us to get forth the message of the gospel, to give forth the praise and thanksgiving that You deserve, Lord, and to just rejoice in all of Your goodness to us. May we love You, and may we serve You faithfully, and may Your holy will be accomplished in each one of our lives. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray.